Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Eveready Industries India Limited Q3 FY25 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Eveready Industries India's Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Suomaya Saha, Managing Director, and Mr. Vivek Agrawala, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin the call, let me first share our standard disclaimer. Some of the statements that may be made on today's conference call could be forward-looking in nature, and the actual results could vary from these forward-looking statements. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the press release document, which has been circulated to you and also uploaded on the stock exchange website. I would now like to invite Mr. Saha to share his perspectives with you. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nishid. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our Q3 earnings call. Let me begin by providing some macroeconomic context as it relates to our company. India continues to navigate a high-inflation environment with challenges stemming from a depreciating rupee and elevated crude oil and commodity prices. That said, improved agricultural prospects, strengthening rural demand, and an anticipated higher consumption by the middle-income segment provide a cautiously optimistic outlook for our operations. I will now take you through our performance across segments and update you on the progress of key initiatives. But first, a few headlines on the brand, distribution, and the business context. The Eveready brand has long been synonymous with leadership and innovation. As a consumer-focused company with a beloved brand, we have consistently invested in advertising and promotions. This quarter, our campaigns spanned electronic and print media alongside below-the-line activations. Our brand continues to stand out, and we are committed to sustained investments in A&P. We are continuously adapting to the evolving market by expanding our presence in modern trade, e-commerce, and quick commerce while maintaining a stronghold in general trade. As we have shared discussions, our top-line momentum is gradually picking up pace as anticipated. While we have experienced some expected cost increases in core raw materials, we have successfully maintained our gross margin within the targeted range. Our focus remains on safeguarding profitability by closely monitoring cost dynamics. Our thrust with the emerging alkaline segment of batteries continues to receive focused attention. We have finalized plans for a greenfield production facility for alkaline batteries with a capital outlay of 180 crores. This facility, located in Jammu, is expected to commence commercial production by the end of this calendar year. As the only facility in India dedicated to alkaline batteries, it will deliver operational efficiencies and support the gradual scale-up of our Ultima Pro and Ultima ranges. Additionally, we intend to expand this facility into a multi-product site for greater scale and cost advantages. In terms of segment highlights, I'll first take batteries. The battery segment has delivered robust growth, both in volume and value. Carbon sink revenue grew by 7.6%, while alkaline batteries saw an impressive 90.8% growth, albeit against the low base in the previous year. Since our brand refresh, alkaline batteries have achieved significant momentum, with Q3 volumes increasing 110% year-on-year. Our market share in this category has nearly doubled to 11% at the quarter's end, driven by strong product propositions, robust distribution, and consistent marketing efforts. India's battery consumption remains below global benchmarks, and the rising penetration of alkaline batteries reinforces our confidence in growing this category further. Overall, we maintained a 53% market share in the total battery market, spanning both carbon zinc and alkaline segments. Now on to flashlights. Flashlights have shown positive trends. On a nine-month FY25 basis, the battery-operated segment saw a mid-single-digit volume decline compared to a 17% decline in FY24. Rechargeables continue to gain traction, supported by new product introductions. Overall, flashlights revenues grew by 9.6%, with rechargeables more than offsetting the decline in battery-operated models. Our new launches, such as the Siren Torch and offerings tailored for fisherfolk and farmers, have emerged as key performers. Additionally, the recently introduced mosquito rackets are seeing substantial growth, helping us expand market reach and strengthen our brand's reputation for quality and value. Finally, lighting. The lighting segment posted marginal growth with improved volumes offset by continued market-wide price erosion. While this trend persists, the impact is gradually lessening. Our expanded product portfolio and growing presence in alternative channels such as modern trade, e-commerce, and quick commerce are driving volume growth. We are also building our presence in professional luminaires, which, though nascent, show promising potential. Our teams remain focused on expanding the electrical outlet channel, critical for showcasing premium products like consumer luminaires. Now I provide some highlights on the financial performance. Revenue for the quarter stood at 333.3 crore, up from 304.8 crore in the same period last year, thus a growth of 9.4%. This growth was driven by batteries and flashlights, while, as mentioned, lighting faced pricing pressures. EBITDA margin improved by 18.7% over same quarter last year, despite forex effects and higher zinc costs. PAT grew by 56%. The YTD EBITDA and PAT margins stood at 12.1% and 6.9% respectively, both improving over the previous year. A&P expenditures stood at 11% of revenue, reflecting our focus on consistent communication and market activation. On our outlook, we remain focused on sustaining growth momentum across key categories. For batteries, we anticipate continued robust growth in alkaline batteries, supported by a reasonable carbon zinc performance. As for flashlights, rechargeables, fueled by innovations in our product portfolio, gaining traction. We expect further growth as the BIS certification, which we talked about in our earlier calls, is now gazetted and is expected to strike at the very heart of all the unethical practices of the unorganized part of the market. On lighting, efforts are centered on growing retail and institutional segments while leveraging alternate channels. With a winning product portfolio, a revitalized distribution network, and a strategic focus on cost efficiencies, we are well positioned for growth in the second half of this year. Thank you for your attention. Vivek and I now invite your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Bhargav from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team, and congratulations on a good performance. Sir, my first question is on the rechargeable batteries. So we've seen a very strong growth in this segment. Would you want to highlight key drivers for this, and also what's the update on BIS for rechargeable batteries?
Okay, I'll have to make a correction here. We are talking about rechargeable torches, not rechargeable batteries.
Sorry, torches, yeah. Flashlights, sorry.
A flashlight. So you know the flashlights has segments. One is the battery operated one, which is the normal diesel battery, and the other, which is the rechargeable part, where you can charge the flashlight for a number of uses. So the rechargeable flashlights have come, you know, over the last 5 years, and today occupy about 70% of the market. We are very strong in the battery operated one, where we hold something like 70-odd% of the market, and we have seen a somewhat late entrant to the rechargeable one. We have taken giant strides for the last 2 years. We have launched a slew of products, and today we are about 30% of the market. The rest of the market is by and large unorganized, you know, with all kinds of unethical practices, which I need not go about in this call. The thing is, BIS has now come out with a mandatory certification, which has been, of course, approved by the government, whereby all products, all flashlight products, would require mandatory certification, whether these are imported or they are manufactured within the country. We believe that this will weed out bulk of the unorganized, you know, so-called unethical segment, and that should turn more towards the organized part of the industry, which, frankly speaking, is basically us. I mean, there being some other small players here and there, but all as, you know, sort of fringe interest. We remain a strong incumbent player in the space. So that is why we believe that there are strong growth potentials. The certification requirement has just been gazetted. So after a period of 6 months, when the players are allowed to sell out their products, you know, which they have already sort of got in their inventory, then, you know, they have to follow all the norms mandated by the government.
Okay. So therefore, you said that maybe in the second half, rechargeable flashlight should actually see a strong growth. Is that correct?
Yeah, we see possibility of an immediate uptick on this.
Okay. Secondly, sir, your market share in alkaline batteries has now doubled to almost 11%. So what led to such a market share swing? Is it that we are entering into some price wars with the market leader? And secondly, once the Jammu factory gets commissioned, what could be the savings in terms of your manufacturing cost for both Pro and Ultima range of alkaline battery?
So, you know, again, we have a strong incumbent player in the carbon ring segment. We have something like 60% of the market share in that segment. And we were, again, a little hesitant to enter the alkaline segment, which was sort of emerging over time. But, you know, 2 years back, we took a decision that we would now also become a significant player there. So we started our journey with the launch of our sub-brands of Ultima Pro and Ultima in this alkaline segment. And so almost from a zero market share, we have now come up to 11%. It is not a factor of, you know, being, you know, sort of price competitive. It is a matter of focus, you know, because we have a very large distribution network, and we have invested in the brand. So it is basically fundamental marketing and distribution job, which has got us to this 11% market share. And we believe that the market should offer us the potential of going up to our overall market share of 50% in due course of time. I mean, it is not going to happen overnight, but in due course of time. But towards that, we have taken this somewhat bold step of executing the implementation of a factory to sort of bolster our growth aspirations, and that is where we are.
And so this factory being in Jammu, you'll enjoy some tax benefits as well, right?
So you also asked the question on, you know, the impact on costs and the tax impact, etc. I request Vivek to take on that discussion.
So, yeah, of course, let's two-part divide without any fiscal benefit from the states. So even natural progression also, if we see that, you know, in cost optimal savings against the import, definitely there will be a very substantial cost optimization in the domestic manufacturing because you avoid the import duty, you sweat your existing resources. So that will give a very substantial, and alkaline is in the price war. As you know, that we are price point is at $22, and where the margins are very thin. So of course, it will add value to that margin, and we expect 8% to 10% margin improvement is possible on alkaline part of this operations through domestic manufacturing. Further, for the state benefits, as you know, that the Jammu has a lot of fiscal benefit they're providing. We have also applied, but we have yet to get this grant of registrations and certifications. In the due course, it may come, but we have already applied for that at this point of time.
And what will be the EBITDA margin in the alkaline battery business today?
See, today, you know, this is one of the segment product of the entire battery range. So we can talk about a better on a gross margin or the net margin because, you know, today, if you invest more on advertisement of these products, right, because competitions might have spent over a period of time, and we are just late entrant in this category, and we all know globally that alkaline is going to be the new force while keeping a focus on our zinc carbonate. So I can tell you that the gross margins are very thin because now in the market, 80% market is that which is a very normal alkaline battery, and the premium segment is around 20%. So margins are much lower than the zinc carbonate, and that is why we think that the moment our this domestic manufacturer come up, that will give some hedge to that margin. And of course, we get a fiscal, if anything, from the government, then it will be added to that particular operating margin of the alkaline product.
Lastly, sir, what is the plan for the debt repayment?
So we are very much on the course of debt repayment. If you see last year, 80-odd crores we have paid the debt. This year also, by this time, we have almost paid around 35-40 crore debt. And in fact, we have funded the Jammu land purchase from that money. So we are in the course of the similar kind of, if you see like-to-like, we'll be ending the year at the like-to-like of debt payment. Like last year, we paid around 85 crore. So maybe year-end, we are targeting around, right now, we are around 245 crore debt, and year-end, we'll look for around maybe 230-225 type of debt number we are looking for on a like-to-like basis. Because now, as you know, that we have to pay for machineries and all. So project I am keeping aside because, of course, as Shubhamoy mentioned, this is a 180 crore project. On that 20 crore, of course, the land we have already paid. So for a lot of payment will be gone, but I'm saying on a like-to-like basis, you could see that the borrowing stands at 225 crore. But the project cost will be addition to that.
Great, sir. Thank you very much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vedant Sekhri from Artha India Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, team. First of all, congratulations for the result. I just had a question on the Jammu plant as well. What would be the annual revenues that we can expect? I know you mentioned the 180 crore CapEx. So if you could just give a revenue estimate for that as well on an annual basis. And is this totally financed through the debt that you had undertaken, or is there any other financing that would be required for this as well?
So, of course, some part will be going internally. I have already mentioned that, like, land we have internally paid money. So maybe it's a 75-25 type of financing. 25 will be internal things, and 75% probably will take from the banks and other financial institutions. So that is the point we are looking for. And the revenue will be, you know, so today, along with, as you said, it's a primary alkaline plant, but there will be some other things to enjoy the better revenues from that plant. Initially, to start with, at least a minimum 100 crore revenue, and it could go to up to a 400 crore scale up in that Jammu plant.
Sorry, I think your voice was breaking there for a second. Could you please repeat that?
Yeah, so I'm saying that first year, we may start with a 100 crore rupees revenue from that plant on an annualized basis, and which could go up to the 400 crore rupees.
I see. I see. Okay. And my next question was on the battery-operated flashlight segment. You said that there was still degrowth in that segment, but the degrowth had come down. What would be the guidance going forward in the future on this? Are we looking to are we looking to expand the rechargeable segment faster and sort of slowly phase this out?
As I mentioned earlier, the current split of these two segments is 70-30. The battery-operated one has now come down to a 30% of the overall flashlight market. And we expect this degrowth to continue, but I would say a gradually slower rate because there are some incumbent users who are not going to shift to rechargeable. However, rechargeable is the one which will continue to see growth. And so we are sort of putting a lot of focus and emphasis on bulking up on this segment. As I said, we are already about, say, 70% of the battery-operated market.
I see. I see. And so my next question was just on some unit economics. I know you'd mentioned in the last call that the blended consumer price of a carbon zinc battery was around 10-12 rupees, and the alkaline battery was around 22 rupees, so a blended price of about 15-16. Have these numbers changed, or will these change going forward in the future when the Jammu plant comes in as well?
No. So you are talking of the consumer price. The Jammu factory is going to give us benefits on the cost. As far as the market is concerned, the pricing structure is like this. There is a popular battery which is more rural-oriented that sells at 14 rupees. There is a premium offering of carbon zinc which sells in the more city-like markets, which is at 18 rupees. You have correctly mentioned the value alkaline. The popular alkaline sells at 22, and then there is a premium alkaline selling at 50. So this is the ease condition today. The Jammu plant is not going to change this market per se. The Jammu plant is going to add margin to our P&L. But marketing-wise, whether we change the pricing structure from 14 to whatever, 18 to 20, 20 to 22 to 25, that is something that we need to take a call going forward.
I see. I see. And just another question on the demand volume. So I know you mentioned in the last call that there's a 50/50 split between retail and OEMs. And within OEMs, there was a prominent usage in electronic voting machines. Is there any other particular segment that has come up as a prominent user of the carbon zinc batteries?
No. So OEM, as in EVM, is sort of kind of a spiky kind of volume. I mean, it takes place only when elections are there. But there is a very steady throughput of OEMs, which is blood pressure monitor machines and a host of medical devices and stuff like that, and many other electrical tools like electronic toothbrush, shavers. These are all ongoing. I mean, EVMs are when the elections take place, so that time, those times, the volumes take a spike. But that is as and when. But of course, in India, elections take place every year, so that's good news for battery manufacturers.
Understood, sir. Just two final questions. One is on the advertising expenditure.
I'll just take one more minute on this. That 50/50 split that you talked about applies only to alkaline. Carbon zinc is almost entirely B2C.
Understood, sir. Understood. Just last two questions. One would be on the advertising expenditure that you had mentioned, the promotional marketing. It was around 11%. Do we expect this to be consistent going forward as well? That is question number one. And two, if you could just throw a bit more light on the electrical outlet division expansion, what are we exactly getting to in terms of numbers when we talk about revenues and margins for this particular division?
So I'll request Vivek to answer the A&P part, but as far as the electrical distribution is concerned, we today work with about 250-odd active distributors. our aim is to make it at least double in the short run. That is something, you know, where we need to put in a lot of hard work because, you know, this doesn't happen just like that. You know, it may appear simple that you go and appoint somebody and he starts, you know, taking your stuff and selling out to the market. But it's a little bit of hard work because it requires due diligence, it requires, you know, sort of verifying market credentials, et cetera, et cetera. So that is where the hard work and, if you say, the little bit of time in expanding that channel is taking place. So with respect to APA, while we are all looking forward to a 10%-11%, but it does not mean that always it will be 10%-11%. As the revenue scale up, maybe that we can restrict ourselves to 8%-9% as well. But it is a matter of time. But at this point of time, I think quite some time we have not advertised. And now since last 6 to 8 quarters, we are building on the TVCs and other digital medium or hoarding of the advertisement. So at this point of time, 10% is looking forward for the next couple of quarters at least. But once revenue become a sizable, then at that point of time, we may look for, you know, because at that point of time, we may restrict to absolute value rather than talking about the percentage.
Understood, sir. Just a final small question. On the alkaline segment, as you mentioned, you've experienced very robust growth in market share for this quarter. Is there any guidance for next quarter and for end of FY25, what we could expect for the market share for alkaline segment?
By end of this financial year?
Yes. So quarter end and
financial year. 11%, I would imagine, you know, to remain somewhere around this level by in the next 2 to 3 months. But we would keep on this journey whereby, you know, our next step would be to go to, you know, a 20% kind of level. And as I said, the aspiration, realistic or otherwise, is to go to the 53% that we hold in the overall market.
I see. Understood, sir. Those are all the questions I have, sir. Thank you so much for answering those questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Keynote Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the current participant seems to have dropped from the queue. We will proceed to the next question, which will be from the line of Arnav Sakuja from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand a bit more on the alkaline battery segment. So I know that you said that, like you mentioned earlier in this call, that it was our strong distributorship as well as the brand reputation that has helped us build our market share to the current level of 11%. But over and above this, you know, do we see a strong growth in the entire alkaline battery market in India itself?
So, as Subha mentioned, actually, if you see, alkaline is really growing up. Like, we may be growing 2x rate, but as a segment, it is showing at least very strong double-digit growth. And we look forward this segment to grow up, while the zinc may remain flat or a very marginal volume growth, but this segment has a lot of potential to grow. And that is evident from our initiative that we have taken to set up our plant in Jammu, that alkaline plant.
So what are some of the growth drivers that are driving the growth of alkaline battery segment as compared to carbon zinc segment?
So this is, you know, this is very much accepted for the hydrogen devices. Now, as you see, the penetration of hydrogen devices are coming up, whether it's toys or the like, you know, PlayStations coming up, you know, a lot of housing complexes are coming with automated digital doors. So the usage of the, as you know, that alkaline batteries are having 4 to 8x depending on the premiumness, whether you are going the value alkaline or you are going premium alkaline. That could be much better for you. Like, you know, blood pressure machine, you don't want to change in every 3 to 6 months. But if you put the alkaline battery, it could go for a longer period of time. So basically, the more and longer usage durations, and sometimes they are more adaptable to the hydrogen devices. So this penetration leads to the more usage of the alkaline batteries in India right now.
Okay, thank you. Got that.
Thank you, Arnab.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Keynote Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. And my apologies, I've joined the call a little late. Is it possible for you to give me revenue bifurcation between battery, flashlights, and lighting?
So for the quarter three, right?
Yes.
So for the quarter three, the revenue of the battery is around 65%, flashlight 11%, and 23% for lighting.
And what were the EBITDA margins for all three segments?
Battery holding around at our 14%, and flashlight 4%, and lighting is almost flat.
Maybe you give the YTD also.
Yeah, so let's take the YTD, which will give you a better proposition, because sometimes, you know, you do spend A&Ps and all. So I'm giving that, you know, while the revenue saliency almost remain the same during the year, but at the operating margin level, battery is 16%, flashlight 10%, and the lighting is flat, which brings to 12% our operating margin for the YTD.
So is it correct to say that because of the increasing mix of alkaline in our battery portfolio, this is one of the reasons for fall in GP margin for on a QOQ basis?
No, so if you see our, of course, the alkaline battery has a pressure on the margin because of the price point. But if you see compared to last year, we have negative, rather we have grown on the battery operating margin marginally from the compared to last year. But you are right, it has some pressure on the margin, but because zinc played a very important role in the, or the material played a very important role. So we are favorable compared to last year YTD numbers in the battery, consolidated battery operating margin.
Sir, in fact, I was just looking at the trend based on last year's trend where we were improving our gross margin from 44% to from Q4 to almost 47% in Q2 FY25. In Q3 only we saw that 43.7% gross margin coming. So zinc prices were up for like 10% in last one quarter, and it is actually normalizing back to the earlier level. So can I say that going forward in the next quarter or so, our gross margin will revert back to 45% levels?
It depends on the mix also, right? You know, so it certainly could improve, but you know, always we don't consume the material on a real-time basis, right? Because you know the battery has a manufacturing time lag, you need to have a battery age for certain period. So in at least 2 to 3 months, price lag will come in the manufacturing cost. So we look forward that depending on the battery mix prices, it may improve. But at this point of time, it is very difficult because, you know, what has happened, as I said, that these are 2 to 3 months lag period happens. But certainly we'll try to keep closer to this number.
Fair enough. Is it possible for you to give me a revenue breakup of battery between carbon zinc, premium alkaline and normal alkaline batteries?
So YTD basis, I'm just giving you the numbers for that. Like, you know, out of the segment, you know, around 615 is carbon zinc, and alkaline is around 41 crore. 15% of that is a premium battery, alkaline.
15% is premium of 41 crores, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. And as you said that currently the gross margins in our alkaline batteries is around 20%, and once we start our Jammu plant, it would rise by 10% more. I'm still able to see that the gross margin of alkaline battery is far lesser than what we have in carbon zinc batteries. But overall, on an absolute basis, the gross profit what we will earn on alkaline and carbon zinc would be similar, right?
May not be, because if you see my premium zinc come at 18 rupees and alkaline comes at 22 rupees. So, though the math may not work in that way. If alkaline claims to be a 2x or 3x, the better performance. But if you see the price parity is 2x between the premium zinc and the alkaline battery at this point of time.
Great. So the performance of battery improves as someone shifts from carbon zinc to alkaline, and the replacement demand of these products would be slower than, if I'm not wrong, the slower than the carbon zinc batteries. Plus, I'm able to see that the margins what we will be earning on this particular project, 1x the times the asset turn. I'm trying to understand this point. What is the reason for us to shift to a lower margin business with one-time asset turn? Is it just because the market is trending on that side, or it is our strategic decision that we have to focus more on alkaline side?
So let me first tell you that our focus remains to remain extremely engaged with the carbon zinc segment. You know, if I were to cannibalize carbon zinc by getting in alkaline, I'll be shooting myself in the foot. So there is no aspiration on the company side to sort of improve on alkaline and, you know, sort of dilute our carbon zinc saliency. The only reason we give alkaline, and we also have to naturally nurture that part of the market, which typically is the hydrogen market, which is gradually emerging in India. It has, you know, India has primarily been on very low drain devices like clock and flashlight and remote control. Now we are seeing the emergence, and that is where alkaline needs to be put and needs to be used. And if we stay away from that market, then other players will come. And now presently, because India is a very price sensitive market, there is this concept of value alkaline, which frankly speaking does not prevail at these prices anywhere else in the world. And we expect that this is going to improve over time. But we would have some advantage being a manufacturer, whereas the others who are playing in the Indian market are only focused. So, you know, I think we should not be ignoring this segment, while we should also not be giving up any position on the carbon zinc side. Have I answered your question?
Yes, sir. It was quite clear to understand the reason for you to take steps, as it is well required. So my next question is related to the mix of revenue in flashlight. What is our revenue bifurcation towards a battery operated and rechargeable?
So it's 60% is a battery operated and 40% is a rechargeable.
Fair enough. And sir, I wanted one update that keeps coming in our quarterly filings, that there was a CCI penalty on us for 170 crores, out of which 10% for which we have already. Any update on the same, that how it is going, legal matters are going in which way?
So there was a hearing supposed to be on 28th, 29th of January, which has now been deferred to the 5th of May. So basically not much movement has taken place on this case. We would of course robustly defend our position. Since the start of this case, maybe some 4 or 5 years back, there has hardly been any hearing. The case lies with NCLAT, and as Vivek has mentioned, the next hearing is only in May.
Right. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the clarity. So last question from my end, it's about the peak debt levels which we can expect in the coming year, as I'm pretty sure because of the plant expansion, there will be debt increase on our books. So currently, as you said, that it is around 225 to 230, what can it be at peak levels?
Maximum, you know, I think maybe another 100 odd crores, because if you take some, we'll also pay back some.
Right.
So as we have got 150 odd crore of debt we need for this plant, so maybe if I add that mathematically, and 50 odd crore I will repay as a part of mine. So maximum I think around 325 to 330 odd crore would be the peak, and we'll try to focus within that limit.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Until any other CapEx comes.
Fair enough. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from RW Equity. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, in the recent budget, the Honorable Finance Minister has, you know, rationalized, or I would say removed the import duty on zinc. So is that something which is of... will be of direct benefit to us in our, you know, COGS in the future?
The duty removal on the zinc ash, scrap zinc ash, not on the virgin zinc material.
Oh, okay. So there is no impact on us of this, you know, fiscal move which the minister has made.
Yeah. This is for the zinc ash, not for the virgin ore, which material which we use in India.
All right. Secondly, sir, you know, it's just how should one read into this reappointment of Mr. Saha, which is now proposed and which is going to be there for 6 months, you know, from, I believe, March to September?
Yeah. So, what would you like to know about this? This is a factual statement that you've made.
No, no. So I said, how should one, as an investor, sir, you know, I think company is in very capable hands. So
Okay.
just from that perspective, you know, it's just, you know, is there something which one should read into it, or it's just a normal resolution which will, again, at that point of time, be revised? Yeah.
Understood. Let me respond. So, you know, roughly, you know, given the extension, we have 8 months. The objectives for me are two-pronged, primary objectives. One is to see a succession plan installed and executed by the time I leave this position. Number two is we would focus on consolidating on the gains that have started accruing to the company. We have gone through somewhat of a difficult journey over the last 2 years, and for all the hard work, the gains have only started coming to us now. It is now, you know, again, it is very easy to fritter away the gains. It will be my endeavor with the team to make sure that these gains are sort of consolidated and held on.
Got it. So, in that respect, sir, you know, is a formal announcement or something in the offing for the succession plan to be in place, sir?
So, you know, in due course of time, I mean, we are still talking of 8 months. So obviously there would have to be an announcement at some stage and then the execution of that plan. It will happen in due course.
All right, sir. You know, it's been such a pleasure hearing you on calls every time, sir. You know, so that is the whole purpose. You know, we believe the company was in, or rather is in, very capable hands.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I take that as a huge compliment.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Savla from RW Equity. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, actually, it's a half question, maybe half suggestion, is that, I mean, our battery business is obviously the core, and we are doing a lot on the alkaline side. I'm just wondering, you know, while as investors, we love to get every tiny bit of information, but, is it very okay to share, you know, the entire breakup of our batteries business between the zinc carbon and alkaline, and within alkaline, the mix? Because I'm sure competition has their ears glued on to see what we are doing. Yeah, thanks.
So I think probably you have missed. I was just thinking, one gentleman has already asked a similar point. So I think, so as you know that, you know, just I'm giving in a value term, around 615 crore is our carbon zinc batteries, YTD basis, YTD December, and 41 crore is an alkaline business, and out of that, around 15%. Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sir. Yeah, I can hear you, sir. My only suggestion was that, whether we should be giving out this level of detail on calls, you know, which are publicly available to even competition from a business point of view.
Okay, point noted, well noted.
Yeah.
So I understand. So you are just saying that segment-wise revenue number is better that if we publish.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the color on the mix is good enough. I think, probably sort of getting into very specific numbers between the, specifically on the battery side, yeah, or alkaline side.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For the suggestion.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may please press star and one if you wish to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Keynote Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, I just wanted to know, what will be the sustainable gross margins going ahead?
Can you please repeat the question? There was some noise in between.
Yeah. What will be the sustainable gross margins going ahead?
Gross
Sustainable gross margin.
Sustainable gross margin for any specific business you are asking, or the company as a whole?
Company as a whole.
I think we should look for, you know, 40% will be our aspiration to be there in a 39 to 40%, but you know, it all depends on work. So as you know, as of now we have achieved so 38% plus. So if you ask me, an aspiration will be towards the 40%, but you know, it's a highly commodity driven business. So as an aspiration level, I say the 40%, but we are around 38% plus at this point of time.
If I'm not wrong, we are currently at 40 to 43%, right? It's not 38.
So when your material margin, you are okay, from the report you are saying, that is the gross margin, okay. So in that case, if you ask me, we are 45% actually. 45% is a pretty good gross margin level we are looking for. Because as I said that, you know, material mix are keep changing time to time. Now zinc prices will be softened. So 45, 1% plus and minus could be the good enough.
Fair enough, fair enough. And sir, just one suggestion, as one of the earlier participants also said that it's sensitive information related to batteries should not be published to such granularity level. It's fair to say that it is the internal strategy of company. But as we already discussed, the broad segment revenues for quarterly basis for flashlight, lighting and battery, it would be great if you can start giving that in your press release itself, because this is something that we track on a quarterly basis.
So point well noted, and it will be considered from the next quarter. Okay, thank you so much for the suggestion. It will be done.
Thank you. Participants, you may please press star and one if you wish to ask questions. As we have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for taking time out to join us on this earnings call today. I hope we have adequately answered all your questions. If you still have more queries, please reach out to our investor relations team, and we'll be only too happy to address those. Thank you once again, and look forward to connecting with you again in the next quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of Everready Industries India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.